Blog Talk Radio.
Another fine show brought to you by the Law of Attraction Radio Network. The Law of Attraction Talk Radio is the radio show that is changing the world through science and spirituality as we realize that our well-being and our happiness is through our own thoughts. The Law of Attraction Talk Radio, the Jules. Well, welcome to Law of Attraction Talk Radio. I'm Jules from beautiful Southern California. Well, today is your lucky day because we have Raj Sharman, who developed a wonderful program called Zero Point Matrix, with us tonight. It is very exciting because I really think it ties to the missing component that we've been looking for in manifestation. All of the listeners know that I'm a firm believer in the power of the mind, but as Raj will let you know, you can actually energize your powerful mind through the science of breathing. So let's get started because there's a lot to cover tonight. Raj is a very successful entrepreneur and chef, having owned a thriving restaurant and nightclub in Indianapolis. He is also an author who has been on his spiritual journey for the last 15 years, studying the principles of living through his guru father and grandfather in India. Traveling to remote places in China and Nepal, he began to understand the core essence of the Law of Attraction, which will connect the proverbial dots for many people who have vigilantly practiced LOA without success. After developing Zero Point Matrix successfully for himself and close friends and relatives, he began to realize that this profound information could easily shift the consciousness of the planet and all of its inhabitants, especially during these difficult times. Fortunately for us, he put all of the information together in guided meditation MP3s that will cleanse and change our thoughts just as easy as taking a deep breath. I am thrilled to introduce you to Raj Sharman, a name that you'll be hearing more of in the coming months and years ahead. Welcome, Raj, to Law of Attraction Talk Radio.
Thank you, Jewel. I am so excited to be here today.
Raj, you started your spiritual quest later in life. You're kind of like a prodigal son. Let's talk about your background a little bit.
It started very early. I didn't even realize it had started. In 1978, when I was in college, and I was a student in the first year, my subject was the world religion and economics. And at that point, while I was learning, my professor started talking about manifestation. That was the first time I had heard this word, and I was so excited. Something happened. It stirred me. And that was the beginning. When I go back to my roots, that's what I remember. This is how it started. But since then, I forgot about it, and I went on and got into my college career, and I became a chef by profession. I got away from what my family was doing. My father actually was a priest. We had temples, and my grandfather was a yogi. And in the 1930s and 40s.
And they were in India, right?
That was in India, yes. And he was a yogi where they used to do a lot of Ayurvedic stuff, and they used to bring out, do a lot of meditation and everything else. When they brought this meditation and that knowledge, and they were serving the kings of Baroda and the rich people in that, they used to give us land in return as a gift. So that's how we inherited a temple in the city that I was born. And my father used to take care of that. So eventually, in those years, when I was born, by the time I was born, it was all done. I got away from it, and I went to Bombay to become a chef. But then later on, it all came back to me in Indianapolis. When I was there, I had some experiences in Indianapolis. And at that time, Oprah started talking about The Secret. And once I learned about The Secret, I started to study it back, and that is how I got interested into it. And then eventually now I'm all the way back into it, and I realized that what people are talking about, the quantum physics and everything, is something that we studied at a very basic level, and we did it in our daily rituals at home.
In India.
In India, yes. You know, one of my big things that I have learned in life, actually, is life begins at 40. But what I learned is everybody has their own journey. And the journey itself actually is the experience. You learn that. Even though I had gotten away from my roots, I learned a lot of things. But my message so much that I am bringing out now is not necessarily just based in Indian culture. When we talk about the intelligence that is behind us, okay, that is the one that actually creates the journey. So when I started my journey, I went in a total different direction. We are Brahmins. We don't eat meat and everything, but I actually was a chef by profession. So I went out of that. I did everything that we were not supposed to do. And so when I came here, I learned the Western culture. I got so involved into it. I always lived in small cities. I lived in Alaska. I have lived in California, in Oregon. So I know the Western culture quite deep into the core. And I understand the psychology and everything. So when we talk about things from India or from the Eastern culture, the Eastern theosophy, I think I have a benefit over a lot of other people from India because I have lived here and I have been a part of this country. It's been a wonderful country. I mean, I love this country because they are so open. They are so sharing, you know, so giving. And that is what I believe that there is a purpose in my journey. So I went out, I studied a different way. I studied instead of Sanskrit, I studied English. So now when I look back, the whole journey had a purpose. Now when I'm trying to bring this knowledge out, the knowledge basically comes a lot of it in languages that Hindi and Gujarati and Sanskrit. And so I can translate those things. I can experiment that and then I can bring it out and try to expand people in a Western way where people can actually understand and comprehend.
Raj, I know that you are now out to help shift the consciousness of humanity. So what is it that you have learned through all of your research?
See, what I am seeing in the last 5 to 7 years, I have actually done a lot of research on this particular subject for about 8 years now, which I shouldn't say research, I have been actually practicing it. But my research has been passed for last about 14 or 15 years. So on this particular different theosophies, different religions, I have tried to learn everything and see how the quantum physics works with this. So basically what I am seeing right now and what I am, I mean, everybody knows about this, the mental climate of this, you know, the whole world is really, really hurting right now. I mean, there is wars going on, the economy is bad. You know, look at the oil spills and, you know, the floods in Tennessee. All these things are happening. And this is not just one thing. It's a global thing, and it's related to our consciousness. And my quest here is to see what I can do to share my knowledge, to see if it would help maybe a little kind of awakening or, you know, push people into that direction. That is what I want to bring to the table.
I applaud your desire and motivation to help the world. This is wonderful. You had mentioned the mass consciousness and how it affects our environment. So are you talking about earthquakes and volcanoes and floods and it's a reflection of our inner self? And could this be beneficial to us in some way?
Oh, absolutely. Because, you know, what happens is when you are thinking about on a personal level, and you are just thinking about yourself. But as we see in the law of attraction and a lot of other fields, that everybody is connected to one another. It is easier said than done. It's not like you can just start doing something. It's not about knowledge, and it's not about just changing one thing. It is about changing the whole thinking pattern and the way we are. It's a day-to-day living that we have to change, not just by just thinking and thinking about ourselves or how it will matter to us financially or material stuff. It is more on a global level that when we start caring about each other, not just one country, one nation, or one family, It is about everybody. Everybody's involved into it together. And I believe that is the purpose of this whole thing. The scriptures, in my opinion, in my belief, it's more, as I understand, is more of a symbology. It tells, the reason I say that is there are a lot of things in Bible similar to the same stuff in the Hindu religion. For example, when Jesus was a baby, I remember there was a king that was killing all the babies to find Jesus, so he doesn't lose his throne. Similarly, when Krishna was born, his uncle did the same thing. He was looking for Krishna, and Krishna was taken away, so they were trying and killing all the other babies who were born in that time frame. So similar stories like that. Another one I can think of top of my head was Mother Mary, Virgin Mary, how Jesus was born. It's the same way in Mahabharata. There is in the epic story Mahabharata, there is a part where Queen Kunti has a mantra given to her by a sage, and she doesn't believe in it, and actually she tries to practice it, and she was actually she became pregnant with the son. And that actually plays a big role in the future that comes down. But my point here is, now in this day and age, we can understand the vitro fertilization and all that stuff is going on. So we can see, we can accept it as happening. But in those days, thousands and thousands of years ago, so this was still going on. So there is a lot of knowledge, a lot of symbology in there where we should learn, open our minds, and not just look at one particular thing, but open to a lot of other things and listen and try to make our lives better that way, not just for ourselves, for everybody else also.
You know, I've always found it so fascinating that out of the seven major religions, they are all very similar. They have a lot of the same stories. And it's amazing because when they were originally written, they were not known from one culture to the other. It's really amazing that the consciousness actually allowed that to flow to each other.
Oh, it is, because, you know, when you sit and really look at it, the founders of the faith, okay, they had, I mean, when they come in, they were human beings also. In every religion, if you really sit and think about it, if now the word avatar is pretty popular these days, but avatar in our Eastern philosophy has been there for a long time. Avatar is when God actually comes down to earth in a human form. So that actually is considered as an avatar for our culture. So when you look at it, I mean, this special envoys were deputed by the Creator, okay, when they send them in. But because everybody is done in a different way, it created rivalry between the religions, rather than taking what they are actually trying to say, rather than the message, it became a rivalry. So now everybody says, okay, we have the franchise on God, we know, but when you really look at it, the Creator is just one. And in the same way, when I actually talk a little bit further, I will show you how the trilogy works similar to stuff in the Tattva Gyan, in the Hindu theosophy. You know, what I want to share a little bit about the faith, I am brought up in a Hindu faith, okay? But I am not necessarily talking about the religion per se. I am talking about a technology, basically you can say a transcendence technology. How to get to that point is what I want to talk about. How to get to that illuminated consciousness, how to get, you know, the science to locate, you know, the enlightenment factor, or how we can reach there. That is what basically my research has been. I'm not necessarily a huge religious person. I do follow the rituals, but I am more of a spiritual person than a religious person. My study and my research has been about how to get to that point where I can connect one-on-one with the higher power. In the Hindu theosophy, in the beginning, what they are talking right now, the very important knowledge that has been shared these days is about the quantum physics. They have got down to the point of subatoms, okay, and how the subatoms are, we are connected, everybody is connected, everybody is single energy, everything is coming out of one point, okay. So in the Vedas, this element actually started, the main element, which we call the Shiva Tattva, okay? That started, and out of that, the power, the energy came out. And once out of that energy, the all-knowing intelligence came. From the intelligence, the body came, and then the Akash, which is the sky, and the Panch Tattva, okay? The water, earth, fire, and sky. That's what came out of that. So basically what happened was in that philosophy, in that theosophy of the principle, when the energy got inside of the atom, so far we have figured out the atom, whenever the atom is moving, that is when the matter takes place. But we haven't figured out what actually the energy that makes, the mechanics that makes the atom move. So that is basically the prana tattva that we talk about. So when that is something that we go about, for example, you know, we talk about oxygen, when we breathe in oxygen, that it gives life. But actually, oxygen is not what gives life. There is another element to it, which we call in our culture prana. Prana is infused in the oxygen, and that is actually what creates the life. Because when you take in oxygen, when you breathe in, for example, you are taking oxygen, you are taking carbon dioxide and nitrogen, and then when you put it out, you are putting out more of carbon dioxide and less of oxygen. So you are retaining some of the oxygen, which actually does helps with the heat creation and you know, helps the body work. But on the other hand, the prana stays inside the body, and that is what actually creates the life energy. That is the force of life that actually stays in the body. Now, in the Vedantas, or in from the Vedas, this particular knowledge is so far deep into it. They have created this, pulled out all this knowledge, and they have worked on it. This is actually more of a mystical knowledge than a scientific knowledge. So that is why it is very hard for the scientists these days to go and find this knowledge. But actually, if you have faith, and if you start thinking about it, and if you start believing into it and practicing it, you will start seeing that it makes, you know, a lot of sense.
Tell us more about this prana. How do we connect to it?
Basically, it is the prana actually comes out in your body when you breathe in. You take prana, which is the extra element when we breathe in. The best time to get fresh prana is at sunrise or at sunset. Those are called the sandhya kals. That is when the day and the evening meets, okay? So those are the times that this prana will be very, very much available. That's the freshest air. I don't know how it happens in the city, but that's possibly when you go on hill stations, you feel much more refreshed when you come back, and that is the reason, because you have inhaled, taken more pranas, okay? There are three channels in your body. We call them nadis, the Ida, the Pingala, and Sushumna. So one is on the left, one is on the right. One is connected to your left nostril, and one is connected to the right nostril. This, when you breathe in, it provides vitality. If you don't have enough of these pranas, they create physical imbalance or emotional imbalance. So this is more connected to your etheric body rather than your physical body. It comes, basically, it's there in the water also, and also in the food. So when you take food, certain foods, good foods, that has more pranas into it, the natural foods. So that is one reason when we are eating organic foods and stuff like that, it has more pranas rather than when something is full of chemicals. So when you sit and think about it, this prana is the intelligence that actually runs the body. Now think about it, who keeps the body at 97 degrees temperature? It is there. They haven't actually found a machine that actually can keep the body at particular temperature through the inside. Then same thing, we go through the cycle of the sleep, the digestions, all that things are happening in the body. Okay, this affects your blood and your mind. So just like again, this is something that even when you breathe in plenty of it, it will affect your mind. And mind as we know, is the main thing. Either it can be your best friend or your best, you know, the worst enemy. But that is basically what actually help us manifest things in life, achieve things in life. So this is something that, you know, by having a lot of it, the pranas, that would help your mind.
So can we feel the prana? How do we know it's there?
Yes, you can feel it by the vitality. It is measured in vitality. You will feel how refreshed you feel, okay? Now, there is actually a whole science about breathing in India, which we call Swar Vigyan, the science of breathing. So in that technology, actually, that science is so far backdated, I mean, thousands of years old, but people still follow it, okay? Even when we pray, for instance, we give our blessings to these pranas. There is five different kinds of pranas, not just one. So that is the thing. When you normally take about 13 to 15 breaths per minute, okay, the inhalation, exhalations. So about 22,000, 21,000 something per day. Now you are not, I was surprised to know when my teacher was showing me this stuff, that you don't actually use both your nostrils to breathe on a daily basis, on a regular basis. You usually just breathe through one nostril.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's dominating, now been dominated in one nostril. So if you actually take your breath, and I mean your hand, and put it under your nose and breathe on it, you will realize that you are breathing through only one. And this changes every 90 minutes.
It changes sides? It changes nostrils every 90 minutes?
It changes sides every 90 minutes.
Wow, interesting.
And then once every so often, you will be breathing through both sides. And that usually happens in a certain times of the day. Let's say in the evening times and in the early mornings, like I said. That's the time when we are breathing fully. So it depends on how, when you wake up, and if you were to see which nostril is working, based on that, you can decide how actually the day is going to go.
Now that's really fascinating. I've never heard of that before.
It is amazing stuff that these people have come. I mean, this knowledge is so interesting, so amazing. The science behind it is that each nostril, when the air you take in, it is stirring your chakras in your body. These chakras are connected to the planets. So if you believe in astrology and all that kind of stuff, the psychic phenomena, you will understand that the outside, the etheric bodies, the etheric temperature would change your being, okay? So depending on how you are breathing, your day will be planned. For example, I can give you a simple thing, like if you are having a headache, and if you were to close your left side, open the right side, and again, then you open your right side again and breathe through your right side, for 5 minutes, your headache will change.
Interesting. I'm going to have to try that.
It's very interesting. It's or if you are breathing tired, or if you are low on the pranas, then actually you can close your right nostril and breathe through the left one. That would change also. I don't know if you follow or if you have tried the palmistry. If you really look at the palmistry, they see like a man's right hand when they read the palm. And a woman's left hand. And this is one of the reasons, because the woman, in the females, the right side is more dominant. It's a very interesting how everything works. So now, this prana, when you actually take in, initially, when a baby is born, for example, initially is taking the nourishment out of the umbilical cord. But as soon as the baby takes birth, the first breath, when you take the first breath, that's when the prana goes in. From there on, the prana is the one that actually sustains the life. Till the last moment, you have the last gasp of air, that's when the prana will go out. So in our culture, we don't say that somebody died. We say that, oh, that person's prana left him. Or when somebody... another interesting thing is, like, my grandfather, my father used to tell me these stories. I never thought that I would ever think about it and bring it back. But this is very interesting because he actually left his life the way he wanted to. It is very interesting that people in India still to this day, they practice living life. When they are done, they believe that, okay, their life is over. They know when the life is going to leave them. And they will go and they will do this pranayama and the life can leave them at that time. So so that is why in Eastern philosophies, in Eastern theologies, the death is not so much feared. I mean, even though, yes, we are remorseful about it, we cry over people dying and all that stuff, but that's the mental aspect of it. But deep down, they have created rituals like so many days you have to do certain things and all those kind of things are there that you feel relieved, and by the time, I think it's they call it karmakand, that you have to do certain rituals after the person is died, and every year then you have to put the food out and do the food offering and all that stuff. So that process is there to ease the soul and guide the souls, and you are still taking care of the soul, so the soul doesn't stay here on this plan.
So is prana necessary for faster manifestation?
Well, yes. The whole idea, when you really sit and think about it, the law of attraction is based on energy. The quantum physics is based on energy. So everything that we are surrounded in the world is energy. So when you take this energy and you want to change your energy within your body, then you have to go around and do that. Because when you have a stuck energy, stagnated energy that is in your body, and you want to liberate that energy, then you have to take the pranas in a certain way, and that will open up your chakras, and then it will liberate the energy that is stagnated. Once you feel good, this is a basic science when you sit and think about it, when you start feeling good, when you are more vital, you have more vitality in your body, and you present yourself different way, you talk different, you walk different, then you start automatically attracting positive things in life.
So when we feel more vital or when we feel very energized, we are in fact connected to the prana and our heart chakras are open and everything is flowing to us. We're attracting the best.
That feeling is what is going to attract things in life. You have to feel, wealth is a feeling, it's an energy. So to be in that energy, you have to resonate with it. That feeling has to be there, that energy has to be there. It's not something that you're going to go out and create from outside. You have to become it. So anything you want in life, you have to become it. What I have done, actually, if you really look at the bigger picture, the body has the five senses. The mind is connected to the body, okay? And the mind is then again connected with the subconscious mind, and the subconscious mind is connected to the universal mind. When you want to control your mind, the only way you can control your mind is through breathing. Once you have that in control, mind is a tool, okay? It is something that we, just like a hand or a leg, you use it whenever you want to use it. You don't really keep on using your leg when you don't need it. So you just let it rest. It's the same way, but our mind is constantly working. And the conscious mind is constantly working. So while it is working, it is still creating. Because the thoughts is what actually creates. So once you start getting control of what you are doing or how you are thinking or what your thinking patterns are, that's when you can get control on your mind. But for this, you need what we call, I have sometimes hard time with the English is my second language. It's called Shankalpa Sakti. Okay, I mean, you need a determination, a bulldog determination. You need to decide that I want to do that. That's the only time you will be able to do that. Now, the mind, you have to treat it like a child. You are not going to be able to force it. So the only way to do is you need to start observing it. What the thoughts are coming, where the thoughts are coming from. And once you start going in that direction, rather than forcing the mind to go the way you want to go, if you just relax, let it flow, let the thoughts flow through, and you just become an observer. Once you do that, then automatically the mind will get out of the way.
So where does the zero point come into play?
Well, basically what happens is when you are doing your breathing exercises, you breathe in a certain pattern that actually takes your mind away from your body. It separates your mind and your body, basically. And you have so much sharp focus that you are coming in your mind that you are one-pointed, what we call one-pointedness. So you get to that level where no other thoughts are flowing in or no other thoughts are flowing out. You are locked into that one position. And at that point is the one where you are closest to the universe. That is the point of creation. I call it zero point because that is the lowest point. Everything begins with a thought, and that is where the thoughts are beginning. So that is where we bring ourselves. If you want to put out an intention, you can put out the intentions at that time. If you wanted to create energy in your body to attract something in your life, you will create a matching vibration and energy there, and that would create the same energy you can attract things in your life.
So once you get to the zero point, that's the place for you to set your intention. Is that correct?
Right. Well, the whole idea is to create energy in your body that is resonating with the something that you are sending out. You want to feel it, you want to live it, you want to become it. So once you get your mind to that level where there is no other thoughts coming, self-limiting beliefs are out and everything is moved out, then your mind is a very clear point. Just like, you know, when you are dialing into a radio station, if you are on a certain point, it is a clear radius, otherwise you're going to get static. My whole idea is to bring the person to that point. Now, for everybody has a different desire in life. Somebody wants love, somebody wants happiness, somebody wants money. So it is all up to an individual to decide what they want, how it is going to feel.
Now, Raj, you have created these wonderful MP3s, instant downloads, that people can actually go and experience the zero point. You guide them to get there. Tell us about it.
Well, I have created three CDs. The first one is called the Daha Tantra, which is the burning away of the negative energy. So basically what it does, it takes you on a guided tour to that zero point. And then there is exercises in there, which I am actively involved into talking to you over the in the MP3s, that you can actually follow the instructions. We are inviting the spirit to talk to us and help us find out what the problems that were, what are the self-limiting beliefs, and then there is exercises that would help us get rid of that once and for all. Now, you can continue to use this again and again as long as you have that, but must do only one thing at a time.
Let me give out the web address so that people can go there and check out your MP3s. It is zeropointmatrix.com. That's zeropointmatrix.com. Basically, with these MP3s, you're going to help train us to get into that zero-point matrix where we can have faster manifestations.
This is more of a exercising. For example, I mean, if you wanted to become a chef, you know, you have to go to the kitchen and you have to start cooking. It's the same way when we talk about law of attraction, that all that attraction and energy is created in the mind. So you actually have to be present in the mind and create there. I mean, just by talking about affirmations and doing this and doing that, it doesn't necessarily work for everybody because they are not there at that particular point when everything else has fallen off. You are just focused on one thing, and that is where the key is, the creation of the energy. And in the second part of it is the intention manifester. What we do in the second MP3 is you actually go to the zero point, and then you set out the intention. You get in connection with the universe. You will feel that feeling that you are in connection with it. So the soundtrack is created in such a way that it will lead you step by step, doing through the breathing exercising, breathing a lot of pranas in your body, breathing through your nose, holding the breath, putting it out, doing exercise. This is basically like, how can I explain? More like a mental gymnastics. You know, you would be doing these exercises of your mind, just like you need a coach to help you, you know, when you want to become an athlete, you have to go to the ground and you have to run and you have to do practice. Similarly, same stuff here, but you are doing this in your mind.
What is your recommendation for how long we listen to each CD? I mean, should we listen to the first one for a week or 30 days? What is your recommendation?
Well, usually the first CD, the one that intention manifestor, is you send out the intention what you want. You must have a clear picture of what you desire. Once you have that, you set it out and then you let it be. Then you have to be in the frame of mind that it is coming. You have to, everything is based on faith. If you have the faith and if you have the belief, it is going to happen. And then it does happen. In the meantime, what you are doing is every time you have a negative feeling or you recognize that, okay, I'm having a negative feeling, you would use the MP3 possibly once a week or possibly every, you know, couple, 3 days. Whenever you feel that you have a block coming in, you will go and cleanse out the block. It is just like, you know, if you ever have a hose with a water running and if it is clogged, it's not going to run. But once you remove that clog, the water starts running smoothly. So it's the same principle here. Once you cleanse everything out, you know, things start flowing in life. And then there is a third one that actually helps you create this energy. Now that you can listen as often as you want. The more you are in that state, the more often you go there, the better it is. The faster you will manifest.
With the act of manifesting, many teachers say that you have to focus in intently on your desire and keep on coming back to energize it. And many others say, no, set your intention, then let it go and forget about it. What is it that you recommend for your technique?
You actually focus on it, but at the same time, you are not attached with it. You're not attached with the outcome. You don't necessarily, you have to ultimately create. You are communicating with the universe through a feeling, through an emotion. So you have to not say, okay, I want X amount of dollars or I want X car, or you have to actually talk about how you are going to feel when you have. Doesn't necessarily have to be a red color car to make you feel a certain way. It might be, but you know, it might come through one way, it might come through the other way, so it doesn't matter which direction it is coming, how it is coming, but as long as you are not attached with it, then the attachment is what creates the problem, because then you start getting stressed out, where is it, why it is not coming, that kind of, the self-limiting belief starts happening again, and that is where the blocks start coming in.
What about action? Do you recommend that we just let it go and not take any action whatsoever to bring that intention to us, or do you recommend inspired action?
The inspired action is when you feel, you will have a gut feeling. You will get a gut feeling that, okay, this needs to happen. And that is when you will take the action. You don't want to force things to happen. For example, if I needed something, I will put out an intention and just let it be. I will off and on go into that state of mind or follow the CD and create that energy so I know how I'm going to feel. The feeling is what is communicating. Once that has happened, then I just wait, let it come. It comes in any different way. And when you feel like, oh, I need to do this, oh, let me do this, or all of a sudden you feel like opening up your computer and visiting a certain site. If you are looking, in my case, I'm always looking out for knowledge. So I'm looking at a certain site, or this happened or that happened. I go into that particular site and, you know, right there is the piece of the knowledge that I was looking for. So that is what I call the inspired action. When your internal guidance system tells you that, okay, do this, or you will just feel, you will feel free about doing something, and then you should take that step.
You know, when people think of the law of attraction, they think of reaching a particular dream, like their perfect job or their perfect mate or their perfect car. But in the bigger scheme of things, isn't it better to just really set your intention on pure happiness in order to allow all of the abundance to flow to you so that you don't have to worry about those particular things?
Oh, absolutely. See, that is what we are talking about, the global consciousness, or when we get to that point, we will get to, we will have that knowledge. But right now, we are still not evolved to that stage. We are still in the process of evolving. Once we pass this stage, right now what is happening is the internet has brought all the world has become such a small place now. So everything has come together. There is so much knowledge out there. But the knowledge necessary, it's overflow of knowledge, and that knowledge is confusing a lot of people. So a lot of people are trying a little bit here, a little bit there, rather than having a system. Once you follow one system, any system will take you there. It doesn't necessarily have to be my system. There is so many other things out there that would actually, but they must follow one thing. The knowledge, basically, when I am talking about, I don't claim to be a mystic. I don't claim to be this and that. What I have put out is something that has worked for me, something that knowledge that I have gained over the years, something that I learned in my life, and I employed that knowledge, and it has worked for me. The same knowledge, basically, I remember I read somewhere, Sigmund Freud said, we already know everything, we already have the answers, we just need to be reminded. So this, when we talked earlier, we were talking about the Akasha, that basically is where the Akashic knowledge is already there. Anybody can access this. That the universe is talking to us all the time. It's just a matter of us listening. I tell you, interesting story we have in our, I used to hear when I was a child, and my dad actually always told me about it, that when we talk about, they say there is a moral story to this story, is when the goddess of Lakshmi, okay, when the goddess of wealth, actually, this man is sitting there praying all day, and he's waiting by the door for the lady, for the goddess of wealth to come to his door. And while she is coming, he's waiting all night. Then eventually he says, okay, let me go and have a shower. I should be, I'll do this, I'll do that, and I'll come right back. So while he goes, the goddess of wealth visits him. And that's the whole point is, when the goddess or the wealth is coming, when the knowledge is being infused into us, we shouldn't be out doing something else. We need to be focused and pay attention of this is what is happening. It's, a lot of things. Another thing, we bring out is like a lot of things that we talk about is not necessarily acceptable by a lot of people, because everybody is coming from a different environment. Everybody is coming from a different culture. So that knowledge, but you have to realize that what feels good to you, what feels right to you, is something that you must employ. Rather than if it worked for somebody else and you are following that, it's not necessarily that it will work for you.
Right. There's not one size that fits all.
Absolutely. A guru. A guru in Sanskrit, gu means darkness and ru means light. So one who dispels the light is a guru. But we even say that there is nothing as darkness. There is no darkness in the world. There is only absence of light. So if actually you want the light to come in, you have to open the door or the window. It's the same way, or turn on the light. But you have to actually open the door, basically. So it's the same way, you have to open your mind for somebody or some of that knowledge to come into you.
That is so true. Raj, tell us about that story that you told me before about being in Indianapolis, and there was a person who was there but was not really there. Tell us about that.
Yeah, actually, that's a very interesting experiment. Basically, what it was is when I went to India, I had heard about these stories that it happens in the jungles of Girnar. That's about 200 miles from where I live. That there is a spirit that stays there, and it's a spirit of a woman. And so people go there, or when Westerners sometimes go there and they come across this person, they actually converse with them, they talk to them, everything. They are like real human beings. But when they go back and try to talk to them again, they don't actually exist. And so when that person tried to, I had read a story about it, when that person tried to find that lady again, and people were kind of explaining to him that that lady does not exit. Actually, it's a spirit. But this person actually went and had dinner with her. So that was a really very interesting stuff. It got my attention. Then a few years ago, I had similar experience. What happened was I was visited by somebody from India. And I was in Indianapolis at that time. I got that. He came in, he talked to me, and he told me right up front that once I leave, you're going to be searching for me all your life. I thought it was a con man or something like that. And eventually, he did some stuff. And at that time, I believe he could read thoughts out of the thin air, because he told me to go into a different room and think about certain things. And he was able to tell me what my past was, things that had happened in the past which nobody else had known except my family members. So not only that, but after that, he said, you still don't believe. And then he told me what dinner I had the night before. So I was really, really fascinated by the powers that he had. I mean, whether he was a magician or something, I don't know. But eventually, you know, I gave him some money, was looking for a gift, and, you know, I gave him some money. Not only he knew what I had in my wallet, the person knew what I had in my safe and what I had in my bank. It was amazing stuff. So not that he asked me for any more than what he just told me, give me what you feel comfortable with. And so I gave him, and then he blessed me. And since then, I inherited a nightclub, which, I mean, I say inherited because I did not buy it. It just fell into my lap. I was in the right place, right time. And since then, the money started flowing. The club was very, very successful. Within a couple of months, it just, my life turned upside down. So that was a huge experience. Then eventually when I went back to India trying to look for it, same thing happened. They told me that nobody exists like this. These are the people that in Haridwar, we call Haridwar is the land where they say Hari means God and Dwar means the door through which God comes. So there is a city in North India that is named like that. So I went there and I was looking. I found the ashram that he had given me the card for, but nobody by that name. And they said, there are so many yogis out there that do similar stuff. They can be here, they can be there, they can talk to people. They have these powers. It was amazing stuff. That is when I started doing my search, leading into all this, law of attraction, and the Swarvigyan and the pranas and all that kind of stuff. Those have been a very, very amazing experiences for me. Ultimately, when we sit and talk about this whole thing, it is what we say is a maya. It's an illusion. Everything, the life itself is an illusion. It's very hard to fathom it. But now, even the quantum physics has brought it to that point, that what you see, what you focus on exists. Everything else is just waves of possibilities, they say. It's similar stuff. It's there when you focus on it. But these powers actually exist out there, that people can learn these things. And it is just like the scientist will have to shake hands with the religion and the mystic people to get into there, because this is beyond science. This is not necessarily like, for example, the pranas. I mean, they are not able to find what it is, not yet. What is the intelligent power behind the sustenance of the whole cosmos? How everything is working in place? You know, how the sun rises, how the sun sets, all those things. I mean, of course, sun never rises. We are just going around. But my point is the illusion of it, the maya of it, is something that we have to learn. And once we understand that, And then ultimate goal, of course, is, to get close to God or try to understand your own self. That is where we are going with this. But that won't happen till actually we start getting more into the global consciousness and, taking care of the nature, helping each other, the spiritual love to come out. That is when things will change.
Let me just remind everyone that you can go to zeropointmatrix.com, visit Raj's, visit his site, and look at the instant downloads for the MP3s. Raj has a very special and generous offer for everyone who listens through this radio program. All you have to do is put radio, R-A-D-I-O, onto the coupon slot, and you will get 40% off of the MP3s. That's incredible. So generous, but that's how the universe works. So it's to your benefit to go to zeropointmatrix.com right now and purchase those MP3s. He's going to be able to guide you into that zero-point matrix where you will be able to manifest at a much faster rate. That's what it's all about.
Right. In the shopping cart, there will be a coupon code that you can put radio, R-A-D-I-O. That would give them a 40% discount automatically.
You have a brand new book coming out as well, and I know you're putting the finishing touches on it right now as we speak. Tell us about the book, because I'm sure it's going to be on the website too.
Yes, the book is Zero Point Matrix and a Mystic Manifestation Guide, and that will be out end of this month.
Let me repeat that. The book's name is Zero Point Matrix, a Mystic Manifestation Guide, and it has a wealth of knowledge in there from Raj in which he's going to help shift the consciousness of the world, and each of us can gain something very, very important for us on an individual level. Raj, thank you so much for taking the time today to come on and share all of this wonderful information. I found it was so fascinating, and I really appreciated all the information about the science of breathing. This is stuff that I had not heard before, so it just makes me want to go out and get the book so I can read more about it.
Oh, thank you so much, Jewel. I am so happy that I was able to share my stuff with you guys, and I hope everybody will try. If nothing else, at least pay attention to the breathing. Just breathe a few fresh, long breaths every day, morning and evening, usually if possible at the Sandhya time, what we call at the sunset and the sunrise. That would really make big changes in your life. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you, Raj, and thank you so much for being a blessing to this world. We really need you right now. And to all the wonderful listeners, have a tremendous week. Bye-bye. Thank you for joining us on Law of Attraction Talk Radio with Jewels. For more information, go to Law of Attraction Radio Network at lawofattracttalkradio.com or lawofattractiontools.com.